It's a set an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And this week's Parsha, we start a new Sefer Bamidbar. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then, God willing, we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could put into our lives in a very, very real way. As we know, this week's Parsha is Sefer Bamidbar. And Chazal have different names for different Svarim. As we know that Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzirah, or as the Ramban calls it, Sefer HaYashar, the creation of man, the creation of the Avos. And then we have Shemos, the great Netziv, Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, who was Rosh Hashiva of Elozhin from 1813 to 1896, one of the greats, writes in his Akdama that the Sefer of Shemos represents, quoting the Bahag, as Sefer Sheni. And we ask, in Sefer Shemos, what is that? Give me a name. The Ramban calls it Sefer HaGeula. That's why whenever you see in Shemos, it says Exodus. Sefer HaGeula. Why Sefer Sheni? So the Netziv explained, because it's a progression from Sefer Bereishis to the whole, the creation of the nation of Klal Yisrael. And then we get to Vayikra, and it's called Torah's Kahanim. That's why it's called Leviticus. If you look at all the English Svarim, they have names. Why are those the names? Because what the Medrash says. And then we get to Sefer Bamidbar. And that is called Sefer HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers. And everyone's asking, there's so much stuff in Sefer Bamidbar. It's juiced up. Again, you have Klal Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years, waiting to get into Eretz Yisrael, and they had the Chetam the Meraglim, and a lot of things that went on in the Midbar. Korach, Bahaloscha, so many juiced up parshas. Why is it called the Book of the Numbers? That is the question of the Netziv in his Akdama to Sefer Bamidbar. Question one. Question two. There's a very famous Medrash right in the beginning of Bamidbar. Bamidbar Rabbah, Aleph Aleph. When Klal Yisrael got the Torah, the Medrash says that they got it with three things. They got it with Eish, they got it with fire, they got it with Mayim, they got it with water, and they got it in the Midbar. And the Medrash quotes the Pasuk from right in the beginning. You open up right to the first Pasuk in this week's Parsha, and it says, Vayidaber Hashem Aleph Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, Ba'oyel Moed. And they got, Hashem spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai. That's how we know that it has to be in a Midbar. What does that mean? What does this Medrash mean? Again, simple understanding is that they had in the Midbar, they had water, they had the Bear Miriam, and they had the fire that Anani HaKavod. But is there something deeper about this Medrash? What is this Medrash? What is there telling me a major idea? Obviously, it is, because why would I say if it wasn't? But what is so specific? What is so unique about this Medrash? Question two. Question three. Moving along. We know right in the beginning we speak about all the Shvatim having different assignments, how they're supposed to travel. And we are told that they all have specific degolim, they have certain flags. And the question is, first of all, what is a flag? We know we have a lot of different types of flags. What does a flag represent? And furthermore, we know that the Shevet Levi was not counted, and they don't have a flag. But what is this counting? You know, we get so confused. On the one hand, like, we know, like, when you go to Minyan, we used to have shuls. God willing, we're getting shuls in Eretz Yisrael. They're bringing shuls back. God willing, in America, very soon, we have to daven hard that they bring all the shuls back. However, we know when you have 10, you can't count them 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, you go, Shemesh, you have to do shtick. What's that all about? What are you doing? You're like playing games. You calm down. Don't gown me. Right? But you do it in different ways. What's that about? But again, Shevet Levi doesn't have a flag. And Rashi tells us in Perek Bey's Pasuk Test, it says, Rishon Yisohu. And Rashi tells us the whole order. Amazing. It says, Dego Yehuda Ban Mizrach, that they had the division of Yehuda on the east. The Shel Reuven Bidarom, and Reuven was in charge of three tribes on the south. The Shel Ephraim Bimarov, and Ephraim was on the west. And Dan was with Safon, and Dan was in the north. And where was the Levim? Says Rashi, before Alevim, Agolos Be'emsa. The wagons and the Levim were in the middle. What's that all about? How were the Levim in the middle? And lastly, we're getting close to Chag HaShavuos. What is the whole idea of Bamidbar, this counting, have to do with Shavuos? Is there a deeper meaning? Because Bamidbar always comes before Shavuos. Chazal created, the Gemara Megillah says, that the Bechukosai is always 2 weeks before Shavuos, because Hashem didn't want to scare them, giving them all the kolos, which we read last week. And so Hashem, the Toichacha, is 2 weeks before Shavuos, and then Bamidbar is before Shavuos. So what's that connection? What's that connection? So again, let's just chazer over. There's a lot of questions. Hopefully we answer all of them. But again, let's just chazer over. We got to always make sure we have the Torah. You're sitting next to, you're talking to someone. You got to get them a quick Dvar Torah. You have to have it. Again, a lot of times there's different ideas within these ideas, but you could break it up. If you want to sit and tell them a half hour Dvar Torah, that's okay. Also, if you want to sum it up, because always if you could sum it up in a couple of minutes, that means you got it. So again, why is Sefer Bamidbar called Sefer HaPikudim? Why is it called the Book of the Numbers? So, what kind of name is that? Okay, in the beginning it talks about the numbers of Klal Yisrael, but it should say the whole essence of the Sefer, like Bereishis, Sefer HaYetzirah, the creation, or Sefer HaGe'ula of Shemo. What is Sefer HaPikudim? Furthermore, what's his Medrash talking about? Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. What's that about? And third, what are these degolim? What do the flags represent? Why is Shevet Levi not counted? What is this counting? Do we count? Do we not count? And the order of the traveling. And lastly, how is Bamidbar and Shavuos interconnected? So let's try to build this Yisoid. Might have spoken about this before. But again, all these Yisoidists, they're all intertwined because there's one Yisoid. And the Yisoid of life is how to bring Hashem into your life in a real way. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us so much, and we know we're all still, a lot of us are still at home, and difficult situations, you know, Baruch Hashem, technology, and Zoom, and Shiurim, and it's tremendous. But again, it's not the same as sitting in a Shiur, hearing the Rabbi's Drasha. Maybe it's better on Zoom, because when you hear the Rabbi's Drasha, you go to sleep. And now on Zoom, if you're sleeping, everyone can see that you're sleeping, unless you turn your camera off. I know that shtick. You know, the mute and the camera off. You're not really there, but you pretend you're there. Yeah, whatever. Everyone knows what I'm talking about if you know Zoom. But I'll tell you a story. But again, the whole Yisod is trying to connect Hashem. That's what we're trying. Again, different ideas, relationships, different things of building our lives, but it's connecting to Hashem, and it's hard. It's not easy. But I'll tell you a story. When I was in college, so I took a class. I actually got very close with a professor, and he was a Jew, but he wasn't religious. He didn't know anything. He was never taught, and he wanted to learn with me. I remember one time I invited him over. He came to my parents' house. And Edison is unbelievable. My mother threw down a nice meal, a sukkah meal, I remember. He wanted to see the tabernacle. And he drove out to Edison. And he came, and we had a beautiful meal with him and his wife in our sukkah. And he actually came to me and Chani's engagement party in OZ, in Manhattan. So I developed a nice relationship with him. One time, I was taking a criminology class, something about criminals. And my grandfather, Rabamzer Olvashom, was a chaplain in Rikers Island. So I decided we're going to take a class trip to Rikers Island. It was unbelievable. We went to Rikers Island, took a bus, and we got to hear a class from my grandfather giving over to the inmates. My grandfather told me that there was one inmate that liked the class so much, he kept on being freed out of jail, and then he wanted to come back, A, because he got free food, and also he liked the Tyro, and he liked the companionship. Okay. He wanted to learn with me. So I learned with him a couple of times, and I remember, it's a long time ago, I'm getting old, I remember the first time I learned with him was right before Shavuos. And he said he wanted, you know, I wanted to learn Gemara with him, Talmud, but I thought it was a little advanced. He wasn't really ready for that at all. He didn't know anything about anything. So I decided that I was going to learn with him Chumash, a Chumash Rashi. And I decided what better place to start than the first Rashi in this week's Parsha. But he wanted a little background. So he's like, give me some background. So I said, okay. God created the world in 6 days, and 7 days rested. That's our Sabbath. So he's like, can I ask some questions? I said, no questions. That's what it is. He said, let me ask questions. I'm like, no, we don't have so much time. Further. Then we had the four fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the four mothers. And I told them a couple of the stories, and they said, can I ask some questions about that? I said, no questions. And then we went to Egypt, and then we left Egypt, and God showed all these miracles, and he split the sea, and he made us into a nation, and he gave us a tabernacle. I was going through all these details. He wanted to ask questions, but I couldn't sit with him for 8.5 hours to go through all of our history. But then I told him, we're going to read a Chumash. We're going to read a Chumash Rashi, the first Rashi. Rashi tells us in the beginning of the Parsha, oh, what an unbelievable Rashi. This is the Yisod of life, this Rashi. Rashi tells us in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, why all these countings? Why do you count, says Rashi? Mitoch Hibasan Lifanav. Because Klal Yisrael's dearness before him. Mone Osam, Kol Shoha. He counts them at all times. When they leave Mitzrayim, he counts them. When they fell in the Egel, they did something very bad, which we've spoken a lot. What was that sin? Ayin Meshech Chochma. He still counted them. He always counts us. Again, when you count someone, it could be for two reasons. A, you want to make sure that person's there, right? As we're all thinking about that movie Home Alone, where they counted their kids and Kevin wasn't there. And Kevin, right? That was a little strange. They left their kid and they went on the airplane, whatever. You know, we don't ask catches on movies. And so you have to make sure that people are there. You count. However, says Rashi, you know why Hashem counts Klal Yisrael? You know why it's called Sefer Pekud in the book of the numbers of the countings? Because Hashem loves us. And we need to bring this into our lives all the time. That Hashem loves us. Comes along the great Netziv. And the great Netziv answers the first question. Because I'll say you should answer the first question first. Why is it called Sefer HaPikudim? Why? So the Netziv says, again, the great Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin. In Volozhin, he was the creator of Volozhin. And all the great Gedolim came out of Volozhin. They had to close it down because of the Haskalah. However, all the great Gedolim came out of Volozhin. And it was the only yeshiva that set up a clock that there was always learning 24 hours a day. People had different times to learn because they held that 1 second without Torah, the whole world would be destroyed. It's a Gemara and Shabbos, not Peches, 1 second without Torah. And the great Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin says in Zakdama that when he was a little boy, he was a troublemaker. And his parents said, hey, Naftali, we got to send him off to trade school. Let him be a shoemaker. And he heard that. And he started crying. He turned to Hashem and he said, Hashem, let me be matzliach in yeshiva. Let me be matzliach in Torah. I want to help Klal Yisrael. And he tells us when he wrote his sefer called the She'iltos of Rav Chaigon, where he wrote, and he said in his Hakdama, it's there, look inside, that he says that after Me'eva Esrim, Hashem would come to him and say, Nu, where's your Eimek Sheila? Where's your Shiltis? Where's your Eimek Dabar? All your Chumash, and all your Svarim, on Chas. Nitziv went from cover to cover, from Brachos to Nida, every single Masechta. Most yeshivas would skip around, they do Noshim, they do Nezikin. Volozhin went through everything. And Hashem would have said, where is your Sfarim? We don't know what they're talking about. But Baruch Hashem, you heard that conversation. Comes along the great Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin. And he says something gewaldic. There's two countings in Sefer Bamidbar. One, the beginning of this week's Parsha, there's a counting of Klal Yisrael as the Shvatim. And then there's another counting of Pinchas. Right after Pinchas, we know Pinchas was the Zealot. He took matters into his own hands. Was gewaldic. He saved Klal Yisrael. And that's another counting where a lot of people died, and we did a counting after. Says in its Siv, what are these two countings? What are they all about? Says in its Siv, you know what these countings are? We know that the beginning, the first year of the Midbar, they had 40 years in the Midbar. Not so much, we don't know so much about the 38 years they were in the Midbar. A lot of the stories in the Chumash were at the end of the Midbar. We're at the end of the 40th year, the 39th, the 40th year, right before they went to Mitzrayim, before they went into Eretz Yisrael. They left Mitzrayim. This is the first year, the 40th year of the Midbar, this week's Parsha, and then right at the end of the Parsha, they go into Eretz Yisrael. What's it all about? Says the great Netziv that there was a transition. When they were in the Midbar, they had Nisim Galuyim. They had the Mayim, which we'll talk about in a second. They had the Mon, that food. Imagine, think about anything you want. Wow. Right? As Hamotzi Lecha Min HaShamayim, says the Chidah. Right? That was the Bracha. Hamotzi Lecha Min HaShamayim was from the heaven. You think about anything you want. Clothes. And you didn't have to wash your clothes. Again, I don't know about the women. They always need new styles. You know, men are okay. They could just wear what they got. You know, they don't need to, okay, so men need new styles also, most men don't, right, they're okay with what they got, but women need new styles, maybe they think about it, and then their dress changes, again, they were nisim neflos, but that was more of the supernatural. After the second counting, says in its Siv, was when they were going to Eretz Yisrael, and when they were going to Eretz Yisrael, it was much different. It was this idea that they were going, getting Eretz Yisrael, but they were going to be in the Golus. That they were going to have to work harder. When we're in the Golus right now, this is the time of going into Eretz Yisrael. Because it was more of the physical labor. They had to plant. They had to work hard. That's why they were very nervous. As in its Siv, Lishitoso, they were nervous to go into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to work so hard. But that's more of taking, doing your hishtadlis, doing what you can do, and then channeling it to Hashem. That was the progression. Supernatural, leaving Mitzrayim, getting all these amazing miracles, but then making it real. When it's coming into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have to work, you're going to have to fight wars. It's not going to be so easy, but you're going to be able to persevere. As we spoke last week, the idea of putting your lave, your heart, yeah, Hashem runs the show, but putting your heart into it. And that's why it's called Sefer HaPikudim, the Book of the Numbers. Because these two countings represent the idea of the transition. Why is it called Eish Mayim in Midbar? So again, you can think of your own drushas. I heard a lot of different ideas of this. Last year, I spoke and it's close to speaking in Berra Weinshul, my good friend, assistant rabbi Vito Golvich. My parents were there, and Shari Chesed. And I spoke about this Medrash. And the Medrash is remarkable. I once heard from Rav Asher Weiss, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And he said that this Medrash is so integral. Why? Because Eish, what does Eish represent? Eish represents the idea of godless, a fire going up. How a person could connect and work hard and do what he can, the kayacha adam, that a person could accomplish what he needs to accomplish. But after a person accomplishes that, he needs time, he needs a midbar, he needs a place, a desert, a place of isolation where he could just think of what he's doing, what he has done, how he could work hard and he could work harder. And after he gets that midbar, then he gets to the level of Mayim. The Gemara says that Mayim, Gemara in Tainus, not Bezin, Mayim Elatira. Mayim is no hits the lowest point. It goes down to the lowest point. Mayim represents being humble. That after a person accomplishes, after a person works hard, and he tries his hardest, he does his ishtadlis, coming into that progression of the second counting, of going into Eretz Yisrael and working hard, and dealing with the mundane, but making that kaddush, then he takes a step back, and he realizes that it's Hashem. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam giving it to him. Hashem is the one in charge. Hashem is the one that's giving us the ability to do it. What's a degel? What's a flag? A flag represents malchus. A flag represents royalty. We're proud of our flags. This shows our identity. This is who we are. All the Shvatim had so many unique traits. They had the individuality of their greatness. Every Shevet, every person in the tribe had greatness. And that's the idea of counting. Counting shows that there's greatness. You know, Klal Yisrael, I heard a shiur on Torah Anytime from Rav Yitiel Golovich. He was talking about the counting. When you're allowed to count, when you're not allowed to count. And he was talking about the flags also. And he said it's very interesting because Klal Yisrael is referred to as stars and also as numerous as sand. Stars represents the idea of the individuality, how each star is huge and there's so much in each star. But if you look at a grain of sand, that's nothing. Sand only makes a beach when you have billions or whatever the number is of sand coming together. So on the one hand, we have the individuality of the person, a star, but then he comes into Klal Yisrael. He comes into Klal Yisrael to make the Achdus of the Tzibur. And that's the idea of a Degel. A Degel is a person works on himself. He becomes that star. And he gets counted to show, as Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that you know why we count, like this Rashi. Because everyone is precious. Everyone has a job in this world. Everyone can accomplish. Everyone can give. Everyone has their unique, why God put them in this world. Everyone has it. That's what Moshe says why we're counting. And everyone has to put what they have. But they have to realize the shiflus, realizing it's the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's represented by the flag. Shevet Levi doesn't have a flag. Why doesn't Shevet Levi have a flag? It's very interesting. If you look in Perek Gimel, Pasuk He, it's talking about Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor Hakrevet Mata Levi VeAmato Oto Lefnei Arum Vishamru Et Mishmarto, and they shall safeguard his charge Vet Mishmeres Kol Eido. So it's very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Erechin on Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara says that there are two jobs of the Levim. On the one hand, they guard the Aron, they guard Mishmeres Ha'eda, the Ol Moed, in the tent of meeting, they guard it. And also they'd be singing, the Levim would be singing. What's that about? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Periches, Halacha Aleph, that the whole idea of the Levim was to give kavod tiferes, to give glory. You know, when you're guarding something, you could be guarding something because you want to protect it, or you could be guarding it because you're proud of it. You want to show royalty. When all those guards, I've never seen it before, my parents have seen it, right? When you have the guards just standing there, right? My job, my friends told me that they once went and they tried making the guards laugh. They could have went to jail, whatever. I don't think they did. And the guards are just standing there. Again, with Corona, I don't know if anyone's out. But the guards were just standing there. Why are they just standing there? Because they represent royalty. They're not protecting the palace per se. They're royalty. You know why Shevet Levi doesn't have a flag, perhaps? You know why Shevet Levi doesn't have a flag? Because they are representing royalty. This is Klal Yisrael. As the Rambam writes at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, the last halacha of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, don't think it's just limited to Levi. Don't think, yes, They are the Shevet that are the leaders, and they give over the Torah. But says the Rambam, famous Rambam, that don't think it's just Shevet Levi Bilvad. It's everyone. Everyone has this unique ability. Everyone has this idea that we could connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in an individual level. But then after a person becomes an individual, if you want to make Seder, and you want things to be great, every person puts his talent of where they have and they come together. It's like a symphony. It's like a team, a sports team. With a symphony, everyone's playing their instrument. If you all play your instruments at the same time, or you have a lot of people playing the same instruments, it's just going to be the same noise. But if you have, I remember I once went to the symphony. At a college, me and my friend, we had to go for a college class. We had to go to two symphonies and analyze it. The clarinet and the trombone. I'm going to start making up some things. I don't know the names. And a guitar. Probably don't have a guitar. That's not so fancy. Electric guitar. Not electric guitar. But again, all these fancy things. And in order to make a beautiful symphony, I actually liked it. It was nice. In order, if you love classic music, right? In order to make a beautiful symphony, every single person is integral. They tell that famous story. I told it last year. I tried finding the name of the composer. It's a famous composer. Couldn't find it. Only I could find it last year. I remember getting an email from Uncle G. Shout out to Uncle G. Writes me emails. Uncle G. And it's this Yisod that we're saying. It was a great composer. And he put on a magnificent performance. And everyone, you know, I got the standing ovation, right? All the people, right? So that first guy standing up, he's the guy that starts it. And then he starts that standing O. And afterwards, Shalom was talking to the composer. Again, if I'm mixing up the details, I'm really sorry. I'm not so sorry. But maybe you have a different way. So I'm just going to tell it the way I like it. And it's on the recorder. You can turn it off. You can't even correct me. One day, it'll be in front of people. God willing. And they said, how was it? He said, it was awesome. Except there was one thing not there. And they said, what? What are you talking about? He said, there was one violin guy not there. And they didn't know what he was. What do you mean? It was beautiful. How can you tell there was one violin guy not there? What does that mean? And they found out there was one violin guy not there. And that story is a very powerful story. Because it shows that on a collective unit, everyone's important. Maybe that violin guy, he was sick or he couldn't make it, but he made a difference. Because in the Ribbono Shel Olam's eyes, in this world, everyone can make a difference. But when you get everyone together, it's the same thing for anything. You're working for a business. You're working for a yeshiva. You're working for a shul. You're working as a family. You're working. Everyone has unique abilities. And the idea is to come together and make it as one. That's sports team. If you can have everyone shooting the ball, you're not going to win anything. But if you have the guy that's the best passer, giving it to the guy that has the best shot. Me, of course. Yeah, right. And you have the guy that gets his rebounds. Again, the whole thing. Everyone's like, oh, all you talk about is basketball. I don't. Yes, I have some one-on-one crazy weird stories. Not only talk about his basketball, okay, whatever. And everyone has. We could do it with hockey also, okay. But it's the idea of coming together as a team. And you know what's in the middle of all of the Shvatim and Shevet Levi's in the middle of that Rashi that I said? The Torah. Says it Raka Kamenevsky. The Torah is in the middle because it all centers around one thing. And the minute that people think that it doesn't center around that one thing, you're mistaken. But it's centering around the Torah and bringing the Torah into our lives in a very real way. And everyone has different time and different things, but making time for it, bringing Hashem into our lives. There's been a lot of ups and downs with this quarantine, and everyone has had a lot of. Again, the world's economy is crazy, and people, so many millions of people have lost jobs, and this craziness, and people are sick. And we can't take that away. But a person has the time to think, to contemplate. Where is he holding? What can I add to this world? What can I make better? How can I be a better person? A better spouse? A better father? A better grandfather? A better person in Klal Yisrael? And as the shul started opening in Eretz Yisrael, and God willing in America, they're going to start opening also soon, and we're going to go back into the tzibur. We're trying to develop ourselves on an individual level and trying to build ourselves. And then when you build yourselves and you give your talents, and that Sheva Levi doesn't need a flag, they don't need, because they represent it. They represent the Torah. They represent the Ribono Sholem. And a flag is Malchus. But it's about coming together, the unity. I heard a Gevaldic thing. But the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, at the end of Zvachim, it says that the nations of the world start hearing fire. And they say, what is it? It must be a fire. And then they turn to Bilam, and Bilam says, no, it's not a fire. And then they say, it must be a flood. They say, no, it's not a flood. And it turns out, what is it? It's the Torah, the noise, and the Eish, and the Brokim. It's the Torah, and they say, what's going on? Ask the great Rameir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi. Oh, thank God, Daf Yomi, unbelievable. And what's the Shapiro? What's going on that Gemara? Says Rameir Shapiro, because the nations of the world, they only get together when there's tragedy. When there's a 9/11, Chas V'Shalom. When there's tragedy, they get together. But Klal Yisrael gets together when there's tragedy. But Klal Yisrael doesn't just need the tragedy. They get together with the Torah. That's what we're about. Hashem Oz Lamo Yitin. Showing our flag. The flag of Malchus. That's what we're about. So you're not allowed to count an individual. Ayin Hara, says the Gemara. We want to keep it, right? That's why the Dugim are Kisui, and that's why they have the most brachas, because the Ayin Hara, we put them in the water, they no one can see them, and that's why they have the most, right? They have a lot of babies, a lot of fish, because they stay away. So we don't count because of Ayin Hara. But after, when we get Hoshea Samech, we get our minion, then we could start counting as a Tzibor. We're allowed to count as a Tzibor, not as a Yachid. Because we have a dual role. We're individuals that are trying to define ourselves and get close to Hashem with this level as an etziv of dealing with the mundane and dealing with the hard work and bringing the mayim, bringing Hashem into our lives. However, the end goal is to have the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And I think this is the connection of Bamidbar to Shavuos. Bamidbar represents the idea of the counting of the individual, the svartem lachem, a sphere l'chol echad ve'echad. We're getting close to the end. We're all counting sphere sa'omer to get to that shvuas. But shvuas represents vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, the idea of the achdus of all Klal Yisrael learning together of the Torah. So let us realize this. Let us realize, as Levim had the shira, the singing of what? Says Rav Asher Weiss, the singing of the Torah. As the Rambam tells us at the end of Hilchos Lulav, Perches Halakot Hasvav, the joy of doing mitzvos. Pekudei Hashem Yisam Chilev, the idea of simcha, of doing mitzvos. The joy not just limited to Sukkot, but the joy for all of our mitzvos. The joy of the Torah, to sing the Torah. But also the Mishmeres, the guarding as royalty. As we're getting close to Shavuos, Sefer Bamidbar, Sefer Pekudim, realizing that every single person is unique. Everyone has gifts. Why else would Hashem have put you in this world? But realize that we need to come together as a collective unit, and it doesn't matter what you're part of. It matters that you bring, that your Klal Yisrael, and we all come together, and we all use our unique ability to come together. And then we'll have Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar as a Tzibor. As Hashem, let us just keep on growing. Let us keep on working on our Midas, Tikkun our Midas. Let us realize how special we are. And let us get to that Tzibor. The idea of Svartim Lachem, But then to get to the Shavuos of Achdus of all Klal Yisrael, everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.